It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
They're monitoring this broadcast right now.
I know.
In the crazy world of broadcasting, Irving, movement can often mean stasis. Stasis movement.
And you had a full body radio experience. This was the idea.
Go ahead. Read your stupid, childish manifesto.
Play it again, Hollis. I said play it again.
Hello, radio listeners in Newfoundland, Canada, and Iceland. My name is Erling Biggs. Welcome to The Great Eastern. Today we help the BCN commemorate its 60th anniversary as the broadcaster of record in Newfoundland. Old hosts make a comeback, and we'll hear some of the golden moments that have made the BCN and The Great Eastern household names. All this and more for you, with me, Erling Biggs, on The Great Eastern.
Good morning, Newfoundland. This is the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, transmitting at 520 kilohertz on the long wave.
The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland was established by an order in council at Westminster under the recommendation of the Commission of Government in 1934. Almost a year later, on July 29, 1935, we went to air. What you have just heard was the original wiretape recording of the inaugural sign-on of the BCN. The voice was that of our first station manager, Jabez Lundrigan. Our colleagues at other programs at the station have been offering their tributes to the BCN this week, and today we take the time to offer ours, 60 years of the BCN and of the Great Eastern. It was in the darkest days of the dole that the Great Eastern signal first sailed out across the island. Jabez Lundrigan did double duty as our original captain, but in 1937, a young man named Ron Gallately was given the helm. Through good times and bad, Ron Gallately was skipper of the Great Eastern on and off until 1964. Ron was the most loved personality in BCN history. He was famous. He was also infamous. It's 1939. Ron Gallately, tit-deep in local Fenian intrigue, receives startling news from Dirk Pilgrim, our man at City Hall.
Could you speak up there, Dirk?
Sorry, there's quite a commotion here. A surprise development at tonight's meeting of City Council, stating that the Allied forces' prospects for victory in the European theater were at best poor. St. John's Mayor Adam Fry has surrendered the city to the Germans. A telegram is now being sent to Berlin inviting an occupational force to be dispatched as quickly as possible.
Why, that's great news, Dirk!
Say again, Ron? I'm sorry, there's quite a commotion down here. Oh, I see some Newfoundland Rangers have arrived on the scene now.
I say, I'm sure that all our listeners will join me in welcoming the people of the great German nation to our shores. You want Lebensraum? Look no further, meine kleine Freunde. Listen, if our Bavarian brethren happen to be monitoring this broadcast, from me and everyone here at the BCN, a great big warm Newfoundland Heil Hitler to you all.
Not surprisingly, both Mayor Fry and Ron Gallately were detained after that episode. Mayor Fry, a physician, declared himself neurologically unbalanced and withdrew from office, making way for the 20-year term of Cliff Boss Duffett. Ron Gallately returned to broadcasting after being interned for the duration of the war. But Ron had his good side, too. His warmth and congeniality were legendary. He really believed each and every citizen of Newfoundland was his friend. People quickly forgave his war crimes. In 1950, as a result of Confederation, the BCN faced a major budget shortfall. The station was forced to make up for it by putting on a huge advertising push. You can sense that in this extraordinary excerpt from 1951. Here's the reformed Ron Gallately, firmly in control of the Great Eastern, with his minder and assistant captain, Bill Redigan.
You know, Bill, so much has changed since Confederation in so short a time.
Time does seem awfully short now, doesn't it, Ron?
Yes, it seems like we're so much more modern all of a sudden.
I know I am.
Tell me, Bill, as a modern man of Newfoundland, what's mostly on your mind these days?
Well, these days, Ron, it seems I mostly think about kitchen appliances.
That's a modern notion, Bill.
I'll say.
Do.
No more manual beating for my wife, Ron.
Your wife's name is Ron?
No, Molly.
Lucky girl.
She's a mixmaster girl now.
A mixmistress?
Oh, yes. No more chapped palms and tired arms for my kitchen queen.
Say, that's swell.
And no more bending over the oven all morning.
No?
No, sir. She's got a sunbeam shining up her kitchen now. And when that Wonder Bread pops, Ron?
Yes?
Molly beams.
You beam.
We all beam.
Our sunbeam. Toasters and mixers, appliances and accessories for the modern man and woman of Newfoundland.
Cigarette, Ron?
Don't mind if I do, Bill. Say, these aren't bugles.
No more bugles and gems for this smoker. I switched to the healthy, filtered smoke of Sailor's Mellow Deluxe.
Say, but you're an old Navy man, Bill. You used to smoke Sailor's Twine Blend, I recall.
Yes, but now I get all the flavor I want with the medicinal, throat-soothing action of the new asbestos filters.
It's in the filter. A very modern smoke indeed, Bill.
And for only pennies extra a puff.
Only pennies extra, eh? That's keeping up with the times.
But you know, Ron, it seems that all this modern living, this hustle, this bustle, it's making life so complicated.
I know what you mean. I was saying just the other day to Jeannie Best of Traytown, it's good sometimes to just sit back and enjoy one of the old-fashioned pleasures.
It sure is. And I bet I know just what old-time delight you were thinking of, too.
Really?
A furlong knob.
Well, I'll be darned. You're a mind reader, Bill.
Yes, Furlong's confections have been coming up with the juiciest knobs in Newfoundland for over a century now.
For that long, eh? Hey, that's swell.
Knob, Ron?
Why not?
Whether it's butterscotch, bullseyes, peppermint, or molasses, enjoy a Furlong knob today.
Yes, as Mina Sweetapple of Harbor Grace wrote to me only last week, in these topsy-turvy times, you've got to find that delicate balance of the old-fashioned pleasures with the convenience of modern living here in the hearty, bustling isle of Newfoundland.
Everything is better these days, hey, Ron?
Bigger, better, and faster. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Morning!
Gosh, darling, you look awful.
Yeah, I think I overdid it at the church dinner last night.
Aw, honey, bunged up?
And how?
Could that be at the back door? Look, it's the Anuseltzer man.
Too busy to wait for the slow action of a traditional laxative? Try Anuseltzer, the effervescent suppository.
Now you look your old self.
From now on, I'm starting every day the Anuseltzer way.
Anuseltzer, the effervescent suppository laxative. From Doyle's. Now sit back and enjoy the delightful voice of Grace Bootlier as she sings a special homey version of Makin' Whoopee.
A robin calls his little mate. She whistles back, and it's a date. They fly through treetops, make two or three stops to make some whoopee. The cuttlefish are very shy when other fish go swimming by. And then with great speed, they head for seaweed to make some whoopee. Has a passion for causing talk. If he's about you, beyond a doubt, you've been making whoopee. Now in St. John's, when pine trees swish, and it's too cold for boys to fish, the men start sprucing, they go producing a little ubi. And in Belle Isle, when winter comes, the fellas don't just twirl their thumbs. And gals attractive are very active at making ubi. When I think of the joys of skiing, when winter comes to town, and think of the he and she after the shades roll down, I knew two girlfriends away down north who once were snowbound till March the 4th. One did a sweater, but one did better. She made some whoopee. Whoopee!
Coast to coast in Newfoundland. You're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Bonjour. I'm Chef Paul Benoit of the Hotel Palmer Hotel and Oats of Paul's Park. Please join me this afternoon as I welcome to the BCN kitchen Captain Pierre Lepieux of the French Foreign Legion. Pierre and I recreate our favorite dishes from the siege of Dien Bien Phu and pay homage to those charmant Vietnamese girls who cooked and loved for us that sultry summer of 1954. For starters, an aromatic soup, sampan, souk-souk frog imperial. Entrees, what else? The classic number 12 and the exquisite number 16 with fish balls. Our pièce de résistance, the excruciating drip of the Vietnamese coffee torture. Paul's Pot, this afternoon at 5:30 on the BCN. What do you want, hey, boys? A tad.
It was the hot August of 1965 when a summer replacement at the BCN queued up this tape. Thinking it was an episode of Salty Tales, he pressed play and stepped out for a cool bottle of Coca-Cola.
This is a real emergency. I repeat, this is a real emergency. This is the Newfoundland Emergency Broadcasting System. An enemy attack on Newfoundland has been detected. Sirens are now sounding or have sounded the attack warning. This is a real emergency. Take cover immediately. Here are some instructions. If you are at home, go to the basement or strongest part of your house which offers the best protection. Take your battery radio with you. If your radio is not on, turn it on immediately. I repeat.
I remember it like it was yesterday. Mom rushing across the street to Mr. Kearney's, the two of them embracing on the lawn. Dad chugging the Christmas sherry with his pants around his ankles, the rising chorus of gasps and sobs from all over the neighborhood, and then silence.
Keep listening to this station for further instructions. For the Newfoundland Emergency Broadcasting System, I'm Gordon Shelley. If you have just joined us, please stay tuned. This is a real emergency.
Some people never forgave the BCN for the mistake. I thought it was instructive. Taught us all a little lesson in humility. Taught us to appreciate what little time we have on the earth and to be grateful for it. From that same summer of 65, here's the Ducats from Port-au-Bast, Newfoundland, and Off the Hook.
Sitting in my bedroom late last night. Thank you.
The What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest has been a regular feature on the Great Eastern since 1972. We won't waste your time with a golden moment from the contest. Every moment is golden when you're looking for that special noise from Newfoundland. We'll go into the mailbag for an entry right after we hear the noise that has stumped listeners thus far. So if you think you know what that noise is, get ready. I'll give you our contest mailing address presently. But first, let's see if we have a winner. Okay, we have a package here. It's marked personal, postmarked Vancouver, BC. And it's from the Militant Direct Action Task Force. Oh, and Hollis is signaling me not to open that one. Sorry, Mr. Force, you may have had the right answer, but I'm not opening that one. Okay, here's the last shot for today. Here's a letter from Burnaby, British Columbia. Okay, and it's from Helen Martin. And Helen writes, the noise from Newfoundland is either Witless Bay Ecological Reserve, nope, one down, Helen, or Cape St. Mary's Ecological Reserve, and I'm betting it's Cape St. Mary's. Well, once again, sorry, Ms. Martin of Burnaby, B.C. Hope you weren't betting the house. She finishes her note by writing, by the way, St. John's last summer was one of the most friendly places I've ever been, and the baked apple cheesecake, yum, was definitely not fried. So I guess you can't believe everything you read, eh? Well, thanks, Helen, but you really should try fried baked apple cheesecake next time you're down. You might be surprised. Yummy num-nums. Well, with one letter, two ecological reserves have been knocked out of contention. We're still looking for a winner, so play it again, Hollis. If you think you know what that noise is and where it's from, write us. Our address is the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
After Ron Gallately, most people remember Linda Reardigan as the host of this show. She turned the Great Eastern hard to port. Going through the archives this week, I discovered this serendipitous clip. From 1971, this is Linda Reardigan interviewing none other than a young student radical, Paul Moth.
I'm here in the tunnels by the education building at MUN, Memorial University of Newfoundland. The occupation of the administration building here by the Provisional Council for Student Liberation is now in its 23rd day. A new development last evening, a faction calling itself the Viet MUN, split off and occupied the weight room in the phys ed building. With me now is self-proclaimed Secretary General of the Viet MUN, Paul Moth.
Workers of Newfoundland, the Viet MUN are the one true revolutionary vanguard.
The revolution has waited this long. Another 5 minutes?
You said we could read the manifesto.
After the interview, not before. Now first, Mr. Secretary General, tell me what you make of these documents.
Oh, those are my transcripts.
So, great leader, a C in Philosophy 101, an F in Asian Studies, a D in the History of Marxism?
D-plus.
What equips you to lead a revolutionary movement?
Huh?
What justifies you becoming leader of this alleged radical faction?
Well, I have no ego. And no basis for having one, thus undermining the entire concept of the tyranny of leadership. And second, I have good interpersonal skills, as far as people are concerned, communications-wise, right? And third, I type, so I wrote the manifesto.
Well, what an incredible strategist you are. You've left the capitalist system paralyzed with this bold seizure of the means of physical education. The military-industrial complex must be reeling. Whew! This is embarrassing.
Sure, if you think it's so easy, why don't you try leading a revolutionary movement jammed with first-year baymen?
Well, I would.
Ms. Linda O'Toole of the Newfoundland ruling class.
It's not a ruling class, is it? It was only one small dry goods store.
A radical feminist working for the BCN.
At least I'm not some pretentious arsehole mincing around in black pajamas and a coolie hat.
Yeah, well, at least I haven't sold out.
Well, neither have I, really.
Oh, do you think your work in the media is bringing about change?
Yeah. Maybe not a lot of change, but so what?
Can I read my manifesto now? It's really quite excellent.
You're right, of course. I'm not bringing about any change, and I can see it all now. I can just imagine what's going to happen to me. Gradual acceptance of the status quo, co-opted by promotions and concessions. Next thing you know, I'm BCN director of radio. I'm turning my back on lesbianism. I shack up with a cabinet minister.
Please,
I marry a cabinet minister.
Can I read the manifesto? You promise.
Go ahead. Read your stupid, childish manifesto. Here, take the mic, oh great radical one.
Right. Article one. No, preamble first. This is the manifesto of the Newfoundland Workers' Vanguard and Liberation Front. I'm Paul Mott. Hey, that sounds pretty good. We'll be back with Article one of the manifesto right after some music. Anybody got
any requests? Paul's first taste of the mic, and very soon after, he was working here at the BCN. Linda Rarigan left the Great Eastern and hijacked a plane to Cuba. And here, recorded at Munn Radio during the occupation, is Pierce Cull with his proletarian anthem, Working at the Cold Storage.
I was way over in Cincinnati, boy. I never had a biscuit or bread to bite. Johnny Ball phoned when I was having some tea. He said, do you want to come to work with me on the cold storage? The cold storage. When I heard that word, I get discouraged. He said, you'll only get 8 hours a day, but I'm gonna put you on the cutter anyway. You might get a couple of hours or more, and if you don't clean her, you'll go through the door of the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. We go to work in the morning at 8. It doesn't matter if you are a bit late. We take our places and begin to cut, and a few minutes later, you get a pain in the gut on the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. We stay to the table for an hour or so. Someone speaks up, it is time to go. We leave for the toilet, it's no doubt. And the piece of dish hit you in the mouth on the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. The folks down there don't get much pay. They only make 12 bucks a day. But we're all poor people and we just can't wait to go to work for $1.48 on the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. The codfish there, they are so small. I wish to God they weren't known at all. But it's okay, I suppose. And most of the chums from off the goose go to the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. When the fish is all cut and it's time to go, everyone is ready within an hour or so. We wash our aprons and thin our boots, and there's nothing but cats going out to shoot on the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. Now the song's short, but it's not a lie, and I hope we go to heaven when we die. Some of us will if we're on the lift, and St. Peter will say that you can all fish from the coal storage. The coal storage. When I hear that word, I get discouraged. When I hear that word, I get discouraged.
Good morning. I'm Rita Malloy with BCN Programming Highlights. It's summer, so many of your favorite BCN shows are being repeated. This afternoon at 4, it's The Medicine Chest Best, The National Gene Revisited. Geneticist Dr. Jim Engels explores the fundamental biological determinants of the Newfoundland character. Is there a specific gene responsible for a tendency towards befuddlement and despair, as there are for oafishness and alcoholism? There's controversy to be wrung from this one yet. A repeat of the award-winning The National Gene on Medicine Chest. Sunday at noon, it's the first installment of The Best of Interred with Morris Jesso. Tomorrow, highlights from Morris's school tour. his spring interview with forensic pathologist Lloyd Lancaster, and his annual rating of morticians and their work that turned up a new number one from Central. And Tuesday night at 8, political pundit J. Richard Kando becomes DJ Richard Kando with another summer run of Spin Doctor. This week, it's Venerable Vinyl Denial, as J. Richard puts a unique spin on favorite cover-up speeches from his own personal collection. Special specials and endless repetition of your favorite shows. It's the Summer Harvest from BCN 520, All Newfoundland Radio.
E equals MC squared? Pi R squared? What's with the square? This Wednesday on University of the Air, join Professor Eddie Miller as he sets his hypotenuse loose in fundamental geometry. He'll turn your head a complete 360, proving once again his no-nonsense theory that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. His point and your point, and that's the truth. Get the right angle in your math when University of the Air becomes University of the Square, Wednesday at 11 a.m., only on BCN 520.
The Great Eastern has navigated the rough seas of radio with many worthy hosts at the helm. The much-loved Ron Gallately, the revolutionary Linda Reardigan, and of course Paul Moth. These are some of the great voices of Newfoundland radio. BCN's flagship show has also had many other interim hosts. Today we honor those fine men and women. Remember the Red Scare? From 1959, here's Herb Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yes. They're monitoring this broadcast right now, I know. They may well be in the building. And what with these new robots, even your neighbor or your boss may well be an imposter. If you have suspicions, ask a question that'll trip up old Ivan, like, where's the polling station? Or, how about those Leafs? And you know, these robots, these commie robots, they can't go out in the rain because they seize up.
From 1966, speaking with Iraniologist Dr. Nora Knickel, the late Biff Burns.
Well, Dr. Knickel, they are enormous. You know, one doesn't think of Newfoundland insects as being this large. I'd expect to see a creature like this in the tropics, but...
Oh! Oh! Bit me!
September 28th, 1972... Lou Doyle is BCN's witness to history.
1 minute left to go, a 5-5 tie. This is the tie-breaking game. You couldn't get it any closer. Savard at his own blue line, turning around with Pat Stapleton coming out. Stapleton's pass on an open wing, but here's Cornwallier coming up.
Well, it's coming up to the top of the clock at the BCN. With only seconds remaining in the game, it appears this historic Canada-Russian hockey series will end in a tie. Only fitting, I suppose, in these days of detente. Well, stay tuned now for the Great Eastern with me, Lou Doyle. 1976, the Great Eastern co-host experiment.
That was ABBA with Fernando. You're listening to The Great Eastern. I'm Gary Snow.
And I'm Heather Swift. Hey, Gary, new rug?
They're transplants, Lurders.
Transplants? From where?
1979. Howie Garland lets the cat out of the bag.
Well, Howard, all I can say is that all these rumors are totally without any foundation.
Look, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's common knowledge the Premier has undergone psychiatric treatment.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Just before last Christmas, for heaven's sakes, Carl, he was on my ward. We shared a semi-private room.
And who could forget 1981, Jack Dunphy's eulogy for John Lennon. And the world will
live as one. Imagine all the people. Yeah, imagine all the people. Imagine all the people that have ruined my life. Yeah. You know who you are, honey. Play it again, Hollis. I said, play it again!
Fun and frolic with Great Eastern hosts from the past. Oh, my, I certainly feel in good company there. Here's Belle Island legend Harry Hibbs with the Kellagrew Swerry.
They talk clearing all this follow anything you choose, but it wouldn't hold a stuff box to just be a color too. You want your eyeballs straightened, come out next week with me, and you'll have to wear your glasses at the Calaboose. There was birch wine, card wine, cherry wine, and turpentine, dolphin, couple inches, ginger beer and tea. Red meat, cat's meat, dumpling foil up in a sheet. I tell you boys, we had a treat at the Calaboose. Well, I borrowed Clooney's bee before and squared my yards and sail, and a swallow coat from Hogan, which was foxy on the tail. Bill Cotney's old working pants, patching old and shoes, and an old white vest from Fogarty that's for the Calaboose. There was Dan, Millie, Joel, Nilly, Tatton, and Mrs. Tilly, dancing like a little filly, would break her heart, see. Jim Ryan, Jim Ryan, Flipper, Smith, and Caroline, tell you boys we had a time at the Calaboose to read. Oh, when I arrived at Betsy Snooks at night at 8:30, the place was blocked with carriages, all waiting at the gate. The Clooney funnel on my head, the first was Betsy said, here comes the local preacher with the pulpit on his head. There was Bill Mews, Ted Hughes, William Taff, and Teddy Roos, Ryan, he sat in the blues and looking hard at me. Bill Fling, Tom King, Johnson, champion of the ring, and all the boxers I could bring to the Calaboose to me. From the Saratoga dancers, first and Spetsy kindly said, I danced with Nancy Hogan and her granny on the head. And Hogan danced with Betsy, she should have seen his shoes, but he lashed old mustard from the rack that night at Calaboose. Took the flame and struck the fiddler and the hen I then took in. You should have seen Pony Beaver sure to flatten to the rim. And Hogan's coat was like the best of the tail look on the sea. His eye met a devil, Holly, and your Calaboose to read. There was birch wine, tart wine, cherry wine, and turpentine, dolphin, cavalanches, ginger beer and tea. Red meat, cat's meat, dumpling foil up in a sheet. I tell you, boys, we had a treat at the Calaboose to read. I tell you, boys, we had a treat at the Calaboose to read.
Just off Mount Sio Road, there's a nondescript warehouse identified only as Building 403. Few people know that for the past 52 years, it has housed a hotbed of scientific and technological innovation. Building 403 is BCN Radio Laboratories. Researcher Emeritus at BCN Radio Labs is Dr. Ari Ulvmanis, who's agreed to give us a tour of the facility.
My pleasure, Biggs. Welcome.
Ari, you've been associated with BCN Radio Labs almost from the beginning.
Yes, the labs had been operating for only a few years when I arrived here.
Right, you came over just after the war, I believe.
The war?
World War II.
Yes, World War II, of course.
And you came over from Latvia.
Yes, lovely Latvia.
What part of Latvia?
What part of Latvia?
Yes, what part of Latvia?
What part of Latvia? A little town, you wouldn't know it, called Latviana in central Latvia. Yes, but enough of me. On to the laboratory. This way, Big, this way.
Pretty intense security up here, Ari.
Spies are everywhere, Biggs. Earlier lapses caused, well, for instance, this.
Wow, this is enormous. And the craftsmanship, it's just beautiful.
Oh, yes. Over 300 square feet of mahogany in the cabinet alone. A picture tube the size of a locomotive engine. It's a resolution earning. Whoa.
You mean the television was developed right here?
Well, we didn't call it a television. We called it the pictobulator. Would you like a demonstration? It still works, you know.
Oh, please.
Hi! I'm all dressed up, aren't I?
Yeah, so we thought at the time, and we determined that television had no future. Had we only known that scaled down, it could become another idea robbed by RCA, my nemesis, Biggs. Well, enough of that. Come see the radio work, my friend.
Well, this looks familiar.
Yes, it's a Comfortron. You see, you sat in the chair, you put a metal cap on your head, there's a woofer in the seat for that big bottom end, and you had a full-body radio experience. This was the idea.
I thought, actually, it was an electric chair.
Yes, many people did. But we just changed a few inputs, and now we sell a good number to the Americans. Don't be caught with your pants down in Texas, Biggs, my friend, because with this baby on 10, there is no changing channels. Anyway, so residuals, you know, they keep us in capacitors, a little petty cash, and I expect the revenues will be picking up soon.
What are these?
Well, this one is a finger microphone, and these two here are stereo pair nipple mics.
Oh, yes. Developed for BCN's investigative program, Wearing the Wire.
Yes, Jerome Granger wanted anatomically hidden microphones so that nothing was off the record, you know?
Okay. What's this one here? Some kind of a model.
No, that is another anatomical microphone.
No, it hardly seems anatomically correct.
No?
No, it seems kind of small, actually.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Now, what's the latest project here, Ari?
Our latest project is a highly interesting one. The culmination of a lifetime of work, perhaps. You know, I'm a lonely man, so I have been filling my otherwise empty existence with night courses in computers at the Cabot Institute. Lifelong learning, Biggs, eh?
And?
And this. Say hello to Erling, Mel.
Hey, it's a great day, so why don't you get out and enjoy it? You're listening to BCN 520 on the long wave.
It is the perfect radio host. What's coming up after the Great Eastern with interim host Erling Biggs, Mel?
Why don't you stay tuned to this station for... Look, it's with host Panda Vera Brame.
Can you say Panda Vera Brame, Erling?
Well, certainly I can.
Don't be alarmed, Biggs. It won't be ready for years. At first, you see, we thought that the perfect host should have no point of view. But our Canadian buyers tell us they want their host to have a simulated point of view.
A more complex problem, I suppose.
Yes, yes. We are on hold now until they send down a human prototype from Toronto, a Mr. Brown or Mr. Black, some weekend morning man. We're going to sample him, you see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Ari, and thank you for this rare look at the BCN Radio Labs.
My pleasure, Biggs, and good luck with the show this week.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland.
The most recent host of the Great Eastern, Paul Moth, had his big moment in one of this island's most grueling ordeals, Blackout 94. Here he is, Saturday morning, January 15th, 1994, at the beginning of what was to become his monumental marathon broadcast.
Boys, oh boys, the snow is really coming down out there now. On my way into the building, I saw store after store shutting down for the day, and the bus system has stopped. I guess most Newfoundlanders are settling in for a relaxing little state of emergency. Weather watchdog Erling Biggs will check in later with news about this gigantic low-pressure system that's swallowing the island whole. And we'll be updating you on cancellation announcements as they come in. And hey, you'll have me as company. Well, day two here at BCN Stormwatch, and we don't have an updated weather forecast. It appears that all the phone lines are down. Night on the fourth day here at BCN Blackout HQ. I'm your host by force. We're stranded here, marooned, just like you. Please, conserve your water and your food. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just getting a little punch drunk here. Not much sleep, you know. Complete collapse of infrastructure. In over 5 days since I've seen another face, aside from Engineer Hollis Duffett's here at the BCN. Not that I'm complaining, Hollis, mind you, but we work at pretty close quarters here. Hollis isn't looking too well. He's showing the strain. I guess I am, too. Hollis informs me that we're the only station on the air now, thanks to our coal-fired transmitter and the brave stokers up on Mount Sayo. At least they are warm. As long as there's something to burn up there, we'll be on the air. Hairball. I got a hairball. I got a hairball. I'm sorry. I must have some sleep. I must hold it together. I must continue broadcasting. Hollis must be into triple overtime by now. I keep the faith, friends. This can't last forever. And the whole side is purple and yellowing. It's all puffed out. And Hollis, the engineer, is in great pain. I'm no doctor, but God, it looks bad to me. I think it's appendicitis, because if I just touch it...
Oh,
oops. Okay, it's okay. But I'm going to have to go in, old man. Okay, I'm all ready. I got some paper towels and
I got a razor-sharp editing blade. I'm opening my shirt now. I hit my appendix out once. So using my own scar as a guideline, I'm going to make the incision.
Everyone in Newfoundland had their ears glued to the Great Eastern during Blackout 94. There was no other radio, no TV, just that riveting emergency appendectomy. Could Paul do it? Would Hollis Duffett survive? The province held its breath. And how are you feeling today, Hollis?
Erling, I've never felt better.
Yes, the patient and the province survived. Now it's time for the wonderful Grand Band. From their 1981 album, Living in a Fog, here's The Merry Blacksmith. With me now is Ish Lundrigan, the director of radio here at the BCN. It's a big week for all of us, Ish.
60 proud years of broadcasting.
You've certainly seen many changes over the years. You've been with the BCN since the early 40s, I believe.
In 1947, I got my first job, but my father had been manager since the beginning, so I practically grew up in the station.
Your whole life at the BCN.
Yes, I've seen it all. Sure, I remember when all our copy had to be approved by the Reverend Drover. Old Gobbler, we called him. Nicked like a turkey, you know? And, of course, in the old days, we all wore BCN blazers to work. All that went by the wayside.
But you are sticking with the current dress code. Shirt and tie, no exceptions.
Well, it gives the station a modicum of dignity.
Now, this show, The Great Eastern, has grown up with the BCN, too, really, hasn't it?
Yes. Now, it didn't start out as a cultural magazine, whatever that means. Originally, it was dedicated to providing mariners with news and weather. It changed when Ron Gallantney took over as host and began, well, I suppose the term is free associating on the air. But by whatever accident and twist of fate, The Great Eastern remains the longest continually running radio program in the empire.
Now, some of the senior staffers here claim that we were almost the Royal Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. Is that the case?
Yes, that. It was definitely in the cards until Carl Pilgrim, while covering the regatta in 78, he made a comment about Her Majesty's, desirability.
Something disparaging.
No, not at all. He was quite taken with her. He was a bit of a hat man, our Carl.
Now, Ish, this is the 60th anniversary, and we've got a brand new broadcast tower sending out the signal. Are we going to see any other major changes here at the BCN?
Well, a shake-up is certainly overdue. The last comprehensive programming change coincided with the erection of the big repeater station on the Funks in 54.
Yes, that was quite a house cleaning. Some of the veteran technicians here are still talking about it. But, of course, this program...
Yes, the Great Eastern and Playlets were kept, but other shows had to be terminated to make way for new and modern programming. That's when Interred started, also Lukitz, and Sober Up with Mike Naftel.
Okay, now are you at liberty to say what shows are on the old chopping block with this latest great leap forward?
Well, Interred has been syndicated internationally, as you know, and there's talk it may be privately produced. Given the situation with Bernard Ayers, I don't think the Happy Tightwad will be back. And certainly, with the departure of Paul Moth, the future of the Great Eastern itself has to be reevaluated.
Really?
Not to worry, Erling. Your position as weather watchdog is secure.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking of that. I mean, well, there's so many ways for people to get the weather these days, and with this new opening at the Great Eastern...
Oh, it's a question of trust, Erling. Trust and comfort. People tune in to BCN, hear you read the weather or the traffic alert, and they know everything is right with the world. They feel that things are not spinning wildly out of control, that there's something certain, something constant, something unchanging in their lives.
But you also said we move with the times.
In the crazy world of broadcasting, Erling, movement can often mean stasis. Stasis movement. Nothing is truly known. It's all up in the air, so to speak. Yes, broadcasting up in the air. Am I making sense to you, Biggs?
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in, Ish.
A pleasure, Erling. And if I might, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the hundreds of steady hands who've dedicated their lives to this station over the past 60 years and made the BCN what it is today.
Ish Lundgren, BCN's Director of Radio.
BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. All Newfoundland radio.
As the manager of the performance sits before the curtain and looks into the fair, a profound feeling of melancholy comes over him in his survey of the bustling place. Sage words from the great Victorian novelist William Thackeray. And so it is with me, Erling Biggs, as I survey this Vanity Fair we call the Great Eastern. It's true, I speak to you this week as the interim host of a special anniversary show, but I know the radio game, and I sense that my turn has come. One might call it a moment of personal triumph, and yet I stand at the curtain with a spirit more melancholy than mirthful. In my mind's eye, I can see a young Newfoundland broadcaster, brimming with vim and vigor. I see him forge ahead in the exhilarating early days of radio. Then I see his boyish countenance age, his vim poisoned by disillusion, his vigor supplanted by bitterness, his youthful promise unfulfilled. Is it the good always who ride in gold coaches and the wicked who go to the workhouse? Does the world always reward merit, never worship cant, never raise mediocrity to distinction? Does the world never crowd to hear a donkey braying from a pulpit, nor ever buy the 10th edition of a fool's book? Oh, no. Sometimes the contrary occurs, so that fools and wise, bad men and good, are more or less lucky in their turn. So far be it for me to gloat over the providence that has vaulted me, Erling Biggs, into the homes of radio listeners across Canada. I know how wayward the decrees of fate are, how very weak the very wise, how very small the very great are. I have no other moral to tag to the story of this Vanity Fair. So with this, and with a profound bow to his patrons, let the manager retire. And let the curtain rise. Each Saturday for almost 60 years, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland has been proudly beaming the signal of the Great Eastern live from its studios on Duckworth Street in St. John's, Newfoundland, directly to you wherever you are. And we'd like to hear back from you. Our mailing address is The Great Eastern, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can phone us and leave a message on our answering machine. The number is area code 709-576-5389. If you're phoning from outside the St. John's dialing area, we do not accept collect calls.
You can also contact us through the CBC. We have an email address good for the whole summer. It is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. And finally, there's a fax number you can use. It's 709-576-5524. Please drop us a line with your questions or your answers. Hollis Duffett is the Great Eastern's engineer, and this week Tommy Codner also lent us a hand. Director of Radio at the BCN is Ish Lundgren, and a special thank you to Newfoundland musical archivist Hedley Peddle. My name is Erling Biggs. Join us again next week for the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Good morning, Newfoundland. I'm Erling Biggs with BCN's Traffic Alert. Before the traffic alert, some announcements. Diamond Jubilee celebrations continue at the BCN. Tonight, the BCN Pensioners Association is holding a dinner and dance at the Old Colony on Portugal Cove Road. All former full-time staff are welcome. Tickets are $20 at the door. Tomorrow afternoon at 2, the BCN Mixed Softball Squad goes up against the CBC Pole Smokers at Mary Queen of Peace Pitch. Let's hope the BCN team can continue its domination of the Media League. As part of the Diamond Jubilee, the Newfoundland Radio Performers and Stokers Guild have made a limited number of bit parts in the BCN dramatic series Playlets available to the public. Ever dreamed of becoming a radio player? Just come down and fill out an entry form. Parts are available for episodes 8 through 12 of Delbert Onglow's The Misery That Is My Life.